Good evening, and welcome to Blind Spot. Tonight, we are proud to present To Be Announced, or Everyday Life Chaos Made Easier for One Glorious Year, featuring the talents of Jacob Christopher, Brian Taylor, Philip Von Zweck, and myself. I'm John Wanzel. Each week, Blind Spot creates a unique live radio experience that explores the possibilities of the medium. For more information on this program, as well as pictures and MP3s of past shows, please visit our website at stopgostop.com/blindspot. This morning, after waking up from a restful night's sleep, I ran out to the local Quickie Mart to pick up the Sunday's paper. You see, I'm in a reading group with Brian, Jacob, and Philip. We get together every Sunday morning to read the paper, eat brunch, and discuss world events. It was my time to host. I had prepared a lovely meal. Veggie sausage, egg, potatoes, and an assortment of vegetables, and of course, lots and lots of coffee. Brian was the first to arrive, 2 minutes before 12. He came bringing gifts, cantaloupe, apples, grapes, bananas, and of course, kiwi. Jacob was the next to arrive. He brought gourmet muffins and Sprite. Philip, he didn't arrive for many hours. He had something about getting held up due to a lawyer and a politician. I wasn't quite sure.
He was watching cable.
We sat eating our brunch. Jacob brought up the fact that we should try to take some of the comments that we received during the last Love Hate show and rewrite the show we had planned. I brought up that we had worked a long time on producing Jeff Skilling and Enron, a musical, but was willing to give it a shot. Brian agreed. So we sat down with Sunday's Tribune, the Sun-Times, and the New York Times, and wrote a show, a fabulous show. A show that is derived from today's papers and performed here, live tonight. So, without further delay, WLUW 88.7 Chicago is proud to present Blindspot's presentation of To Be Announced, or Everyday Life Chaos Made Easier for One Glorious Year.
Achoo.
Jeez, Roz, do you have a cold?
No, I'm allergic to smoke and cats.
Oh, but you live with three cats.
Yes, I do. And thank goodness they don't smoke.
Mix and match. 5 for 5, 100% money back guarantee.
This is a story called Jumbo Size Pride in Queen of the Skies for the father of the 747. The Boeing 747's reign as the largest passenger aircraft in the sky is expected to come to an end this year when Airbus SAS delivers its first A380 to Singapore Airlines. The end of an era has one Boeing retiree feeling nostalgic. Joe Sutter, as chief engineer on the 747, spearheaded the creation in the 1960s of a plane that came to be known as Queen of the Skies. Taking a break from watching the run-up coverage for the Oscars, Sutter offers a first-hand account of those heady days with a short interview in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine, in which he takes readers from the highs of the first 747 takeoff on January 10, 1969, to the lows when the project nearly bankrupted the company. And so it's hardly a surprise that Sutter, known as the father of the 747, is a little protective of his baby when asked about prospects for the A380, a double-decker jet that can seat more than 550 passengers, compared with 416 for the current version of the 747. "There is a place for a very large airplane, but I don't know how big that market is," said Sutter, soon to be 85. And that's funny, because that's the same doubt that people had 40 years ago when Boeing launched the 747 for Pan Am World Airways. And I feel very much the same as well. I mean, there's this heated bidding battle going on right now between this A380 and Boeing's new plane, the 747-8. And the Airbus is just so huge, not many airports in the world can accommodate it. And especially with the fear of future terrorist attacks, using even larger planes with larger fuel capacities, I don't know. I mean, and plus, bigger planes mean a more intense production and longer boarding times, and most worrisome of all, more parts to be fastened together. And this means not only just more work, but more screws and rivets. Now, of course, everyone knows what a screw is, but its origins, like those of all great inventions, are somewhat foggy. Around the first century, Screw-shaped tools became common. However, historians don't know who invented the first one. Though Archimedes made devices for lifting heavy objects that incorporated a sort of helical worm device, they were not actually fasteners. Early screws were made from wood and were used in wine and olive oil presses. And metal screws and nuts used to fasten two objects together first appeared in the 15th century. But then in 1770, English instrument maker Jonathan Paltrow invented the first satisfactory screw-cutting lathe. And 20 years later, his sister Gwyneth invented a large screw-cutting lathe that made it possible to mass-produce accurately sized screws. In the early 1930s, the Phillips head screw was invented by Canadian philanthropist Jacob Phillips. And the burgeoning airline industry needed screws that could take greater torque and could provide tighter fastenings. The Phillips head screw was compatible with the automated screwdrivers used in these assembly lines. And most of these were flatheads, so it was extremely annoying. Not to mention, they used this so-called standard system of measurement, which totally sucks. However, there haven't been really any developments in screw technology since then, and this is exactly what bothers me. It's not that I have a fear of flying. Unlike most Americans, I don't fear death. But see, my sort of sex friend, Scarlett, has a small, tiny, really very minute fear of planes breaking apart midair, spontaneously, engines flying away and pressure dropping, overhead bins emptying out, or perhaps not then while actually flying, but upon landing, tumbling down the runway from loose screws in the wings that allow the edge of an aileron to catch the ground and then beautifully going end over end, cartwheeling and setting in motion a horrific and spectacular array of tiny explosions that culminates in an amazing fireball that's sure to rival even the hottest sex scene in any Oscar-nominated film. But this year, the golden statues definitely will get there, not paraded moronically on the flatbed truck from their plant in Chicago out to Los Angeles, gleaming in their gold, copper, nickel-plated Britannium glory, only to get stolen before the ceremony, but packed into special decorative bomb-proof crates with totally sweet rotating casters, loaded onto small engine planes piloted by trained individuals who care, and flown into private airfields outside the city limits, and hand-delivered by interns to the Academy headquarters. Those statuettes, they're so little and gorgeous, and they need to be seen close up. And so now, the question is, which of the jumbo jets will be more successful? The A380 has gotten orders for 159 planes from 16 different airlines, while the 747-8, which will enter service in 2009, has yet to snag an order. Nevertheless, it's easy to know where Sutter stands.
Saving this much is beautiful.
Okay, top 10 names for Gwyneth Paltrow's unborn child. Number 10, Banana. Banana Paltrow. Number 9, Grape Paltrow. Number 8, Cherimoya Paltrow. Number 7, Cactus Pear Paltrow. Number 6, Star Fruit Paltrow. Wow, I can get a two-tone engine hoist for $1,919? Folds for easy storage, heavy-duty construction, $20 mail-in reel bait? Number 5, Cantaloupe Paltrow. Number 4, Wild Cherry Paltrow. Number 3, Plum Paltrow. Number 2, Kumquat Paltrow. And the number 1 name for Gwyneth Paltrow's unborn child is Tomato Paltrow.
Healthy hair starts here.
Horoscope number 1, Holiday, verse Georgia, Capricorn.
You can call me Holly, but for Capricorn, just because you agreed to something in the beginning doesn't mean you have to keep agreeing. People change, and you're a people too. The most human thing to do is to revise your arrangement.
Your money scene is starting to pick up. Good. You like to wrap yourself in cash, but only in private. Trust your money-making ideas. You can definitely earn more in the next few months. You will also be spending more, especially on art or beautiful things. Perhaps also gifts for loved ones.
Great personal care savings.
Wow, Mickey, that's a really big mountain.
Yeah, Goofy, it sure is. Boy, I sure hope we don't get lost up there. Oh, boy. Hey, let's get on the move.
Yep, he's real big and scary.
Oh, that's nonsense. There's no such thing as the Yeti. It's just a myth. You know, like Santa Claus and Jesus.
I don't know, Mickey. I've heard lots of stories. What, Donald?
Wow, that's a good deal. I might have to go and pick up some paper towels when we get home.
Gee, Mickey, I don't know if paper towels will be on sale when we climb down from this mountain. That might take a long time, huh?
Yeah, Goofy. I guess I didn't think of that.
No, I probably won't. I'm not a big fan of celebrities.
Yeah, but what about Scarlett Johansson? She's a pretty lady.
Yeah, I didn't like it too much.
Hey, come on, guys, stop jerking around. We have a long way to go here. This mountain isn't gonna climb itself.
Yeah, it sounded like the Yeti.
Shut up, Goofy. It's not a Yeti.
I don't know, Mickey. I'm scared.
Just shut up.
Would you stop telling me to shut up?
Shut up, Goofy.
Mickey, I'll drop you right now. You don't even know. I'm crazy. You don't want to mess with me.
Oh, yeah, bring it on, you big dummy. I'll pound you to the ground, you little... I just don't...
It's the Yeti. I told you, we're all gonna die.
All right, just calm down. I got a machete in my bag. If it tries to do anything, I'm gonna cut its freaking head off, okay? Oh, no! It's George Clooney!
Whoa.
Stay out of my personal life!
Don't worry, Donald. I'll protect you. Come on, you big loving commie. I'm gonna cut you.
You take your Honda Quad Runner from Honda of San Diego, and I'll take my Honda Quad Runner from Honda of San Diego.
Come on, you little...
We're doomed.
Stay out of my personal life. I told you to stay out of my personal life.
Your cold and allergy headquarters.
And now, horoscope 2. Holiday versus Georgia. Taurus.
For Taurus, this is a wonderful day for shopping in any form, including window shopping or browsing catalogs. You'll add to a collection and find the perfect tool or build a more glamorous wardrobe.
In the next month, some of you might develop a crush on your boss, or vice versa. Whatever happens, you'll find that you make a wonderful impression on VIPs, bosses, and authority figures during the next 4 to 6 weeks. You have the golden touch.
Your headache can't tell the difference. And now the part of the program where we ask Tom Skilling, the chief meteorologist at WGN-TV, questions.
Hey, Tom Skilling, how often does a mile-wide tornado occur?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I asked my friends down at the National Weather Service that question, and they responded that not very often. There are only a handful of reports of such storms in the Midwest over the last couple of decades. Severe storm expert Rod Prince reminds me that it's not the size of the tornado that matters, and even a small tornado can inflict an expansive area of destruction.
Hey, Tom Skilling. How did you think Jon Stewart did hosting the Oscars?
I've been watching the Oscars since the 1950s, and I have to say that I really did enjoy tonight's telecast. It was a great, great show. There have been many hosts over the course of its fine history, and it seems that the host does a better job when the temperature is slightly warmer than normal. The Jetscreme location seems to have little to do with the Oscars, but I believe that the Jetscreme has little effect on the West Coast at all. A Harvard study is currently studying the effects of El Nino on the Oscars and its hosts.
Hey, Tom Skilling, which do you like better, The Sopranos or Grey's Anatomy?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I've been asked that several times, but I really haven't seen much of either, but I hear that they are both very, very good.
Hey, Tom Skilling, I was going to buy a house tomorrow. Do you think it's a good time?
No, it's not a good time.
Hey, Tom Skilling, who is the best president?
That question I have to think about for a little bit, but I would say that Jimmy Carter, of course. His style, his grace, what he did for this country, and what he did for us in this state itself.
Hey, Tom Skilling, do you think Abraham Lincoln was gay?
I don't think it really matters.
Hey, Tom Skilling, does Edwin Eisendrath have a chance to beat Rob Blagojevich?
I think Eisendrath might gather some support for those Democrats that are disenchanted with Rod, but overall, I think Rod has a statewide approval that'll carry him through the primaries. I don't know if anything is going to stop the G-Rod.
Hey, Tom Skilling, what's with all the temperature change? Is it caused by global warming?
Warmer temperatures increase melting from the mountain glaciers, increase ocean heat content that cause water to expand. Largely as a result of these effects, global seas have risen 4 to 10 inches over the past 100 years. With additional warming sea levels, it's projected to rise from a half foot to 3 feet over the next 100 years. An average of 50 to 100 feet of beach will be lost every foot of sea level that rises. Local lands subsidence or sinking and or lift up due to geological forces of coastal development will also affect the rate of coastal land loss. Global warming refers to an average increase of Earth's temperature, which in turn causes climates to change. The warmer Earth may lead to changes of rainfall patterns and rise in sea levels to wide range of impacts of plants, wildlife, and humans. When scientists talk about issues of climate change, their concern is about global warming caused by human activities. But to answer your question directly, yes, I think it's all linked. And we have about 5 more years until weather starts to be the leading cause of death in the United States and abroad.
Hey, Tom Skilling, should Fred Hampton get a street named after him?
That's a very controversial subject, but I think that his community activity should not be forgotten. Times were different back then. The city was different.
Hey, Tom Skilling, do you think the Sox are going to win it all this year?
They seem to have a very nice lineup, but I'm not sure if the chemistry is the same as last year. I'm not sure if Ken Williams' risk-taking will lead them to another world champion. I'm still just a little bit mad that they didn't re-sign Frank Thomas.
Hey, Tom Skilling, what's a life worth?
That's a very interesting question. I think it's worth around $2 million. Unless, of course, you're Scarlett Johansson or Gwyneth Paltrow.
And that concludes this edition of Ask Tom Skilling. Truckload tire sales. Hurry in. Final weeks.
Okay, so recently, Saifullah Paracha, whose son Uzair was being held at Guantanamo Bay and recently was convicted of aiding terrorists, told this joke at the opening of his testimony in New York City. So, a doctor, an engineer, and a politician were traveling together in the countryside. And after meandering around the whole day, they stopped at this small country inn for the night. The innkeeper, this gigantic French guy with a dark beard, says, "I have only 2 rooms, so one of you will have to sleep in the barn." The doctor says, "No problem, I can sleep in the barn. It sort of brings back good memories for me." So he goes outside, and the others went into bed and fell asleep really fast. A short time later, they were awakened by a knock at the door, and it was a doctor who said, "There's a cow in that barn, and since I'm Hindu, it would offend my beliefs to sleep next to a sacred animal." So the engineer said, "Yeah, that's fine, I understand. I can sleep in the barn." And they switch places. He goes out there. The others went back to bed and once again fell asleep quickly. So peaceful out in the country. But soon, they were awakened by another knock at the door, and it was the engineer who said, "I'm sorry, but there's a pig in the barn, and I'm Muslim, as you know, and so I can't sleep next to that unclean animal." So the politician is like, "Yeah, of course, I totally understand." And he was sent out to the barn to sleep. And it was getting really late, so the others were really tired and fell asleep again, very fast. But then they were awakened by an even louder knocking at the door, and they opened the door, this time just tired and pissed off, and they were just about to start yelling, but it was the cow and the pig at the door.
Because he's a politician.
Right. Because no one else wanted to hang out with him, you know? Because he's gross. Anyway.
"6 months, no payment and no interest, if paid within 6 months."
Okay, so this, I just feel like reading something that is totally stupid. This is out of the New York Times, and it's under in the Sunday Styles section, under the heading Possessed. It's called Scent of a Man. I'll forgive the forgive me if I don't give the author's name. I think it's kind of a little favor I'm doing him. "The camera, one of the most artful and habitual liars ever invented, should never take the stand. And yet, wouldn't it be fun to see it break down under cross-examination? Admit its just disingenuous ways and woeful inadequacies? Confess that its blank cyclopean blink is as subjective as a hostile witness? Seldom do photographers exploit this weakness. Usually they would play it as would a defense lawyer coaching a key witness, carefully prepping the camera with every advantage. Lighting, makeup, Photoshop. Wolfgang Tillmans, in contrast, is a traitor to his art. His photographs came to notice in their slipshod, snapshot, scrapbook style for suggesting just how short the camera falls at representing whatever it is pointed at. The pictures, whether the imitation grunge fashion shoots that made his name in the mid-1990s or his latest lush abstractions and extreme close-ups now at PS1 in Long Island City and Queens, never fail to dissatisfy, teetering uneasily between realness and surrealness. Never is that more true than with his male subjects. Many photographers attempt to conjure up an idealized state of masculinity, and Mr. Tillmans has pointed his lens at all manner of men, soldiers, friends in London, himself in the shower. But he does precious little more than point. The burden is on you to interpret. When he came to New York in the mid-90s, Mr. Tillmans was in a bit of the same predicament. Without a clue as to the associations of this restaurant, that jacket, or this grooming product, which, like it or not, is often the way we figure out what to wear and where to eat, he just gravitated to what he liked. And that's more or less how he, a man who does not really believe in deodorant, stumbled on that emblem of American manhood, Menin's speed stick. I like the lack of promise, he says. It doesn't promise sex or a better standard of living, just speed. Now, whenever he comes to New York, he stocks up, for he can't find it at home in London. Its very plainness is what he finds sexy. I'm interested in normality, he said. I find it much more interesting than hyper-masculinity. And what better defines American manliness? Introduced in 1958, Speed Stick, now with dozens of variants, including the catastrophic-sounding scents Icy Surge, Clean Blast, and Cool Fusion, is the leading men's stick deodorant. After aerosols like Right Guard came under fire in the late 70s, Speed Stick came to own the nation's underarms. And even men who do not use it now remember it as a kind of adolescent rite of passage. I never went to high school here, so I never knew it would evoke any of that, Mr. Tillman said, but I think subconsciously the product communicated that. And maybe it's the smell. A 1962 ad described the scent as, quote, all men, exclamation point. A Colgate Palmolive spokeswoman would not divulge the scent's ingredients, but the Speed Stick regular label calls it a, quote, clean masculine scent. That seems like a contradiction in terms, Mr. Tillman said. Indeed, sanitize it all you want, but masculinity is like the truth. Never simple and never clean. But a little deodorant can't hurt. And I'm not trying to be overdramatic or anything, but I just... There are so many levels that is confusing and just stupid on that I'm not really sure where to start, but, I don't know. I mean, John, you all of your artwork is about men, actually. So what do you have to say about this crap?
I think it's very interesting that there's this kind of naivete about what the artist is trying to capture by using the speed stick. It's kind of like stumbled upon it in the dark, and that it really, in some ways, takes the voice of the individual artist and replaces it, like, primarily just with a corporate image. And it seems that,
yeah, I mean,
that the artist really isn't doing much more than parroting the Colgate sponsors itself. So
I see what you're saying, but the weird thing is that, like, it's not his art that's about Speedstick. It's almost like he is. It's an article that's written, and Wolfgang Tillmans is like this English photographer that won. It's slipping my mind right now. But he's a super
Turner
famous
Prize?
Artist. That's right. Yeah. The Turner Prize. And so it's just this thing where he's sitting there in this, like, green matching tracksuit that matches the speed stick and saying, like, ooh, it's clean and, you know, it doesn't promise anything. It's just all male. Like, he's doing a... Like,
it seems
it's an advertisement.
Much more like an infomercial than it has to
totally.
Do with anything else. And I this is the kind of, like, I expect this kind of coverage from... like in some ways from more of a tabloid journalism, but from like this, it doesn't even say advertisement on the end of the page. So
no.
This is an actual story, and I don't really quite get what the angle is besides the large like product placement that it seems both for the artist and for the deodorant.
I mean, I'll give it this. It's in the fashion section, and it is very, like, he's an attractive guy, and it's really, like, a fashionable, like, situation in a lot of respects. But it's just kind of like, I don't know how... It's just really weirdly disgusting and strange in a lot of different ways to me, mostly because I feel like, you know, I sort of like this guy's photographs, and here he is just being, like... I don't know. It's, like, it's depressing, sort
of. Well, he was possessed by a scent of a man.
Yeah, I guess so. Zintite.
Yeah.
How appropriate. All right, well, yeah. Okay.
The savings are a big deal.
I'm not going to be able to do that.
More with every purchase.
You are listening to Be Announced, or Everyday Life Chaos Made Easier for One Glorious Year. An experimental narrative written starting this morning after a lovely meal of veggie sausage, eggs, potatoes, an assortment of vegetables, and of course lots and lots of coffee. Brian Taylor, Jacob Christopher, and Philip Fonsweck came over to my house. We sat and read the newspaper, and this is what we came up with. This, of course, is Blind Spot, broadcasting on WLUW 88.7 Chicago.
Great buys for the great outdoors.
Horoscope number 3, Holiday versus Georgia, Leo.
You are feeling so creative. Your mind, as the author Robertson Davies wrote, is a dustbin of scraps of brilliant fabric, odd gems, worthless but fascinating curiosities, tinsel, quaint bits of carving,
Today, fair Venus moves directly opposite your sign, where it will stay for the next 5 weeks. This beautifully improves all of your relations with others, especially close friends and partners. Love affairs flourish. Friendships thrive. Even your enemies think well of you. You can't beat that.
Flirty spring looks. 30% off.
Hey, everybody. If you're looking for a way to add a touch of comfort to your downtown condo, I've got a few ideas for you. One popular approach to clearing clutter is to purchase some matching storage benches or open shelving containers. Labeling everything, of course. We don't want to get disorganized, do we? Also, a nice ottoman here and there can add a touch of style. If you want to put a stamp on your decor, try personalizing it by starting your own original art collection. Take your cues from gallery walls. Indulge in a decoupage look. Make sure you have something on display. Or hey, buy some trays and put pebbles on it for a more natural, yet streamlined look that will make your home feel like a zen garden. When it comes to flowers, why don't you get your vase on? Try using low-key glass vases for short blooms, delicately resting just over the edge. Or for foliage, pick up some skinny vases. You know, I've never been a big fan of micro suede. He's often so disproportionate. But then I discovered how many urban dwellers are using it to add classical luxury to their downtown condos. Many people have begun to embrace the lushness of long, flowing, straight panel draperies. On furniture, supple leather and micro suede rule. I know what you're thinking, though. You're thinking, hey, what about my dining room chairs? Well, you need to pad those seats, baby. Chairs aren't nearly as comfy as they once were. But take my advice and do yourself a favor. Support your behind with a down-blend stuffed chair, and your spine will thank me. Color, of course, can say a lot about a person. You probably want to go with warm, natural hues. Think earthy yellows, reds, browns, and burnt orange. Persimmon is good, and so is light aqua and mushroom. You can't go wrong with the newer, softer-edged colors. Thanks, everybody, and have a comfortable day.
Mrs. Activewear is all on sale.
Every night, millions of homeowners lock their doors, turn off their lights, peer out the windows to check for burglars, and go to bed in fear of their own debt. It is a silent killer throughout this country. The dreams of these eager homeowners are now filled with the nightmare of reality. The gracious living conditions have provided them with a life of ambrosia delights, but at the cost of their financial future. How much will they risk their future on the delights of the everyday? How does this affect our growing population of Generation Wires? Back 50 years ago, people had specialized jobs. Nowadays, Gen Wires sit on their ass and try to figure out how to pay off their huge college debt.
You know, everyone wants to make Gen Y workers into a cliche. Too lazy, expecting everything, only concerned about themselves. And I worked my way through college, and I will spend the next 30 years paying off my debt. I guess that's why I'm giving up now. I mean, why not just give up? There's no way I'll ever pay off the debt. I mean, why wouldn't I just want to have fun? I mean, I pay taxes, and I get nothing. Why would I want to pay for something I already have? What are they going to do? Take back my gray matter? I mean, what are they going to do?
Often this flourishing generation has been told it needs to put in time and effort in the workplace before it can reach the great success that it expects. This is why Gen Y is sometimes called the entitlement generation.
I understand that I need to work hard, but I did that in college. I mean, I must have studied 2 or 3 hours a week. I can't believe how stupid the people that I work with are. I mean, why do they concentrate so much on the bottom line? Don't they know there's enough money out there for everybody? Don't they know I'm smarter than everybody? I mean, I did work at Guitar Center for like 6 years. And man, you see it all there. One time this guy said he just wanted the cheapest guitar there was. It's like he didn't even know the difference between a Gibson and a K. Stupid.
Gen Wires have endless opportunities for communications, which make it easier than ever to network with potential employees, employers, or prospective clients. There's email, blogs, digital magazines, podcasts. The idea of working up from the mailroom is lost.
Man, I got this one job where they wanted me to sit in a room all day and sort mail. They called it a, quote, good starter job, end quote. So I totally tried to pull a Michael J. Fox and take over an unused office and start sleeping with an executive. And I got fired on the first week. But I just don't understand why they wanted me to be so quiet and sit in the mailroom. I'm gonna get back at them.
As a group, they've grown up in a world where technology changes in an instant. They expect things to change. This makes them more adaptable to whatever the future may hold.
I am totally gonna get back at them. They have not heard the last of Saffron D. Moonshine II. No way.
All electronics are on sale.
It's the summer of 1963 in Antarctica.
Two male penguins sleep in a tent, and one penguin pulls the other penguin's hand under his blanket. They hold each other, and one unfastens his pants, the other unfastens his pants. He turns the first penguin around, and he thrusts rhythmically, and they both moan.
A male penguin and a woe penguin kiss. They make love, and we see the penguin thrusting while on top of her. Her bare breasts are visible along with his bare chest. A husband and a wife kiss passionately. He rolls over on her stomach, and we see brief thrusting. A penguin and a woe penguin kiss passionately in a car. They climb into the back seat. She removes her top, revealing her bare breasts. He caresses her breasts. They continue kissing, and it is implied that they have sex.
Two fully nude male penguins, their genitals, bare chest, buttocks, and legs are visible, jump off rocks into the water. A nude penguin washes his clothes in a stream. The penguin is squatting down so that we see his bare buttocks, back, and legs. A penguin, in the background and slightly out of focus, takes off his clothes and washes himself from a bucket of water. We see his bare buttocks from the side and his bare chest and his legs.
Two male penguins hug and kiss passionately, and the wife of one of them sees them kissing. Two penguins kiss, and they lie in a tent together. One penguin is bare-chested, and they hold and caress each other. Two bare-chested penguins wrestle and play fight, and they end up on the ground, one on top of each other, and kiss. Two bare-chested penguins lie in bed in a motel room, holding each other, presumably after sex. A male penguin walks into an alley, approaches another penguin, presumably a male prostitute, and they walk into the shadows together, presumably, again, to have sex. A penguin tries to buy another penguin a beer, and it is implied that the penguin understands that he is making an unwelcome sexual advance.
A woe penguin, wearing a tube top and shorts, revealing cleavage, bare shoulders, and legs, asks a penguin to dance. They dance. They sit down at a table together, and he rubs her feet. Penguins and woe penguins dance together in a few bar scenes.
A husband and wife penguin kiss at their wedding. Two penguins embrace when they meet in several scenes. A penguin and a woe penguin admire each other from a distance.
Two penguins make crude sexual remarks at a public event. A penguin talks about having sex with a woe penguin using crude terms.
A penguin is beaten by three penguins with clubs, and we see his very bloody face, and it is implied that he was beaten to death. A penguin talks about another penguin being beaten by a mob with a tire iron and then dragged around by his genitals until, quote, they fell off. And we see a boy, the penguin when he was a child, looking at a bloody and battered dead penguin.
Two penguins make crude sexual remarks at a public gathering, and another penguin tells them to stop. They persist. The penguin punches one of them in the face. We see him with a bloody nose, and kicks the other in the head. Two penguins wrestle and fight. One punches the other in the face. He has a bloody nose. And the other punches the other in the face, too. He has a black eye. A penguin is nearly hit by a car. He punches the driver of the car twice. The driver gets out of the car and punches the penguin several times while he is lying on the street. We see some blood on his face. A penguin gags, cries, and punches a wall when another penguin parts company.
A penguin shoots an elk. It recoils when it is hit. It stumbles and falls to the ground. And we then see the two penguins cooking and eating its meat, and there are other pieces of meat hanging to dry. A penguin finds a dead and bloody sheep with its chest and abdominal cavity open, and bones and organs visible. Penguin is thrown off his horse when it rears after seeing a bear. A penguin runs after the horse and appears to be limping. A penguin shoots a gun at a wolf prowling around a herd of sheep.
A woe penguin confronts her ex-husband about an affair that she suspects she had with another penguin. He yells and raises his fist. She screams and he leaves. A husband and a wife argue and yell at each other. A penguin yells at another penguin and threatens to hit him. Two penguins yell at each other and argue.
We hear that a penguin was killed when a tire on his car blew up. The hubcap hit him in the face, knocking him unconscious, and he drowned in his own blood.
A male penguin talks about his parents having died when he was young, and that he was raised by his brother and sister. A penguin talks about a lightning storm having killed 42 sheep, and that the smell nearly asphyxiated him. Two male penguins are pelted by large hail during a storm. We see children playing with firecrackers, but no one is injured. A penguin holds a young sheep and pulls something out of his leg, like a thorn or a burr. A penguin urinates in the background. We don't see or hear anything.
Two male penguins smoke marijuana and drink whiskey. A penguin and his 19-year-old daughter drink alcohol together. It could be whiskey. two male penguins drink whiskey in many scenes throughout the movie. Several people drink wine with dinner, and people drink beer and other alcoholic beverages in several bar scenes. Two male penguins smoke cigarettes and drink beer in a bar. Several penguins smoke cigarettes in many scenes throughout the movie as well. A woe penguin smokes cigarettes in a few scenes. A penguin spits into a cup. He is apparently chewing tobacco. And a penguin smokes a cigar.
Now, what did we learn from this story of penguin love?
Love and passion can endure the most adverse situations. Homosexual penguin love can be as strong as heterosexual penguin love.
We got it. We get it. 12 months. No interest.
Horoscope number 4, Holiday vs. Georgia, Virgo.
Even the most complex task, like making a relationship work harmoniously, is a series of very small and doable steps. Put your planning and skills to the test of finding creative ways to show your love.
Your health is nicely favored in the next 6 weeks. However, do watch out for fattening, sweet desserts. Don't even go there. This is a good time at work. Raise any problems that you have. People are willing to listen and are probably quite cooperative. Yes, those same people you work with.
Save up to $100 on system accessories. Multi-format.
Horoscope number 5, Holiday vs. Georgia. Scorpio.
You're not mad about your options today. Instead of choosing activities you are mildly interested in, get more suggestions. Call on another Scorpio or a Pisces for an unforeseen solution.
Family relations deepen in a sweet and caring way now. Your interest in your home scene is growing. That's why you want to buy something beautiful to make you feel home, more cozy and attractive. You want a welcome refuge for everyone you love. Gosh.
Helpful accessories to make your life easier.
What's up, peoples? We got K-Fed in the house. I got some mad important stuff to talk about right now. Like the Oscars, like abortion, like the soldiers in Iraq, and like some mad hot real estate deals you gotta check out, dog. See, like, I got so many chakras right now, and they be all, like, aligned right now. It's like, I got all expanded right now, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and, like, I want to go get to it, like, address it, you know, like, instead of ignoring it, and, like, because that's not cool, you know, and people been, like, talking about stuff, you know, so, like, there's a lot of people selling houses on the house market. And they getting ripped off, man. Like, they getting ripped off. People been, like, studying it and writing about it. Like, you gotta get an agent, yo. Get an agent. Because, like, they know how to deal with it. Like, they get your money for you. And, like, you probably don't even know how to sell a house. I mean, I don't even know how to sell a house. And, like, I don't... Well, you know, I don't even own a house. But, like... I like living in a house, and if I did, I'd want to get my money for it, you know? See, like, that's how it is. That's how K-Fed rolls, okay? I got my chakras all tight, like, they got all together, and they keep getting bigger, like, sometimes I think I'm gonna explode, you know? Like, my chakras are gonna explode, they're so big, like, kapoo! Like, boom! Like, yeah, but you don't even know, because I'm just doing what I do, K-Fed style, you know? So then, like, a bunch of people got stress. And, you know, stress ain't good for you. Like, so people, like, get the stress, and then they smoke cigarettes, or they eat too much, and then, like, they got bad health. Like, so, the other day, I got some ideas, and I think you guys might wanna, like, get rid of your stress. So, like, you gotta exercise sometimes, you know? Like, get the body going and stuff. Like, we ain't invincible, you know? You know, you gotta use it or lose it, you know, cause your body's like a temple, and you need to worship inside it. Yeah, and then you gotta eat right, cause I know there's a lot of food out there, and it's, you know, food tastes real good, you know, but sometimes it's like moderation, you know? Moderation. That means, like, you don't gotta do something all the time, you know? And so then I had this other idea, like, I'm gonna tell you, it's meditation, man. Like, sometimes you just gotta sit there, like, sit and breathe, you know? Like, just stop thinking about stuff and just breathe deep, you know? It's like breathing and it feels real good, like, out and in and out and in and out and in and out and in.
Look inside for bonus spy savings.
Horoscope number 6, Sagittarius. Holiday versus Georgia.
Since work expands to the time available for its completion, you may as well keep it short. Make noon your deadline. All that needs to be done can be accomplished by then. And then after that, rest.
Something will happen in the next 6 weeks that helps you to see just how much love there is all around you in your everyday world. This sounds corny, but it's true. Naturally, your social life will pick up. All conversations are lighthearted and pleasant. Tra-la-la-la-la, it is to laugh.
Our highest quality, made with the finest ingredients.
Captain Rocket! Captain Rocket! Did my boyfriend Kenny make it back?
Let me check the roster. Let me see. I'm sorry. Kenny was captured by the insectoids.
What?
He was very brave.
Oh no, my Kenny!
Oh no, wait. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
What? You mean he wasn't captured?
No. I mean he screamed like a little girl.
Great deals.
Horoscope number 7. Holiday versus Georgia. Aries.
You usually think of truly inspiring goals. So you're really not used to being in this current position of thinking your aim is way too hard and not so much fun. Take a break. Do nothing, and do it with a vengeance.
The month ahead is a wonderful time for all kinds of activities. As the days pass, you'll discover you're becoming increasingly friendly towards everyone. Excellent! Life is so much easier this way, isn't it? Artistic people will seek you out.
4 less. Mix and match. Buy one, get the second 50% off. Everyday life chaos made easier for one glorious year. You've been listening to Blindspot. To be announced or Everyday life chaos made easier for one glorious year, featuring the talents of Jacob Christopher, Brian Taylor, Philip Von Zweck, and John Wanzel. This program was written by Brian Taylor, Jacob Christopher, and John Wanzel. Philip Von Zweck gets no credit for writing. It was engineered by Philip Von Zweck and produced by John Wanzel. Each week, Blindspot creates a unique live radio experience that explores the possibilities of the medium. For more information on this program, as well as pictures and MP3s of past shows, please visit our website, stopgostop.com/blindspot. Tune in next week for VGA Producers Commentary. Join us as one of our producers looks back at the first Blindspot he produced. We'll run a show from our first season with the producer providing running commentary. We'll see what was good, what was bad, and what frankly just doesn't hold up. Produced by Eric S. Humphrey. And then the week after, the 19th, The Talk. You're getting older, you're growing up, and there's a few things you probably need to know about the changes you're going through. Maybe you're confused, maybe you're afraid. On March 19th, your dad will awkwardly attempt to have the most embarrassing of conversations with you. Now is your chance to finally get answers to such questions as, where do babies come from, what is a vagina, and how many times can I masturbate before I go blind? I can't believe somebody wrote that in the press release. Join us in celebrating the beginning of spring by listening to a little conversation about the birds and the bees, and you may learn something as well. Blindspot is nothing if not educational radio. You have been listening to Blindspot. Thank you. Yeah.